إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, tonight we'd like to continue with the question that we had last week. That is question number 7 from the book of Al-Hakmi, Hafiz Al-Hakmi, rahimahullah, that we have been looking at the chapter dealing with Iman, or faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The book entitled A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura li-Atiqad al-Ta'ifa al-Na'ijiya al-Mansura. And last week we began to discuss the question number 70, dealing with one of the aspects of al-Ulu, that is Ulu al-Sha'n. And the Shaykh rahimahullah gave a very lengthy answer, and we began to discuss his answer, but we didn't complete it. So tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to try to complete it. Before we look at the remainder of the answer, we'd like to look at the questions that we presented last week in the study guide, in lecture number 15. And basically, question number 70, we divided into two questions, because there was two parts of the question. And then we also added a few more questions. Three extra questions. So we'd like to look at those questions now as a review of what we covered last week, and also as a reminder, perhaps it will be of benefit to anyone who was not present last week. The first question that we had for question number 70, or the first part of the question, مَا دَلِيلْ أُلُوَ الشَّعْنِي, يعني what is the evidence for أُلُوَ الشَّعْن, يعني the high, lofty status or rank of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat. What is the dalil? And again, as I mentioned last week, the Shaykh's answer to this question requires some reflection to really understand, you know, what he is saying there, because especially if you're reading it in English, because the translation doesn't clearly identify the principles that the Shaykh is pointing to. Can anybody help us with the answer? What is the dalil of ulu al-sha'n? Naam. Sorry? Okay. My iltizam, naam. And tadammun. Okay. Anybody want to add to that? Or you want to continue?
Salam al-Quddus.
Kabir al-Muta'al. Jayid. Okay, the brother, he's saying that the Shaykh is alluding to the principles that we had discussed, or he had discussed earlier. That is the principles of dalala, yani that the names of Allah indicate or point to certain things. From amongst the types of dalala, the Shaykh, he said, al-mutabaqa. That is, that the names of Allah, every single one of them, point directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To that, the that of Allah, the nafs of Allah. And he said also, there are two other types of dalala, or indications that come from the names of Allah, dalalatu tadammun, tadammun. And that type of indication is that the names of Allah, in each one of them, there is an indication within them, inclusive within the name, directly derived from it, linguistically, is a sifa, or a characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is directly indicated, or included within that name. This is tadammun, it's within it. The sifa is included within the ism. Okay? And he used this principle in the answer to this question. And the third type of indication is dalala Al-iltizam, al-iltizam. And dalalat al-iltizam means that by necessity, the reality of any of the names of Allah also point to other sifat of Allah, other sifat, that are not directly derived from that name, but by necessity they also have to be acknowledged. They also have to be acknowledged. Now, so the Shaykh used these second two principles, at-tadammun and iltizam, as a proof for the ulu al-sha'n, the loftiness or the highness of Allah's sifat, of His rank, His position, His station, His status, His high status. And he said, how is that? That from the names of Allah, specifically he mentioned as-subuh, al-quddus, as-salam, al-kabir, al-muta'al. He said that from these names, there's an indication by way of the indication of tadammun, that within those names, included within them are sifat that point to Allah's highness, His ulu, the ulu of His sifat. Naam. And then he said also that which is necessitated, that is the principle of iltizam, that also from the sifat of Allah, His sifat of perfection, His descriptions, His na'ut of majesty, of greatness, of glory. From these characteristics and qualities and descriptions also by iltizam, by necessity, they also point to the highness, the loftiness, the ulu of Allah's sha'n or Allah's makana or manzila, His high status or high station. If you look at the sifat of Allah, these sifat by necessity prove and indicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's His station or His status or His rank is high, is lofty, is sublime, is exalted. So these two principles the Shaykh pointed to, from the names of Allah by tadamman, we get some of the sifat of Allah which prove His ulu, and also from the sifat of Allah, His sifat, sifat kamalihi, the sifat of His perfection, and the na'ut, the descriptions of His jalal, His majesty or His greatness or His glory, we also see in that the ulu, the highness of Allah's rank or His station or His status. The Shaykh also indicated, in what we read last week, he indicated some of the sifat of Allah. Some of the sifat of Allah, 14 of them, the Shaykh mentioned, 14 of them. And these sifat, by the principle of iltizam, by necessity, if we look at these sifat, we know that Allah's status is very high. And the Shaykh, he not only said that these are some of the sifat of Allah that we should be looking at, but he also pointed to the things that these sifat require us to negate from Allah. And that's the second part of the question that inshallah we'll come to. And what we didn't cover last week, which I think I mentioned in passing in the beginning of the introduction to this class, I think I mentioned that the Shaykh also in his answer mentioned a number of things. From amongst them, he mentioned an ayah in the Quran, لِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. And we didn't cover that ayah, we didn't reach that point. But I mentioned last week, this is also one of the proofs. This is a principle or qaida that we can understand from this, that at all times, in everything, لِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى means لِلَّهِ الْوَصْفُ الْعَالَى. And we're going to talk about that today, inshallah. It means that Allah is the highest description. And this is a principle that in everything, in any way, in any description that we can find that is complete or perfect or lofty or majestic, then it belongs to Allah by right, more than anyone else can be described with it. Okay, so this is the first part of the answer. The second part of the answer, second part of the question, the Shaykh said, and what is it that must be denied or negated from being attributed to Allah Azza wa Jalla? What is it that must be denied? What must we negate? Must we reject from being attributed to Allah? What is it that we must negate? Naam. Imperfection. Naam. What else? The Shaykh said a couple of things that are important, that are general and some that are specific. Naam.
Tiredness.
Huh? Tiredness. Okay, specifically he mentioned tiredness. Naam. That this is negated from Allah. Allah doesn't get tired. Naam. He doesn't sleep. Naam. What else can we negate from Allah? Specifically or generally? Naam.
He doesn't forget.
He doesn't forget. Naam. What else?
His justice.
Huh?
His justice.
What must we negate from Allah due to His justice?
Injustice.
What we must reject from being ascribed to Allah being described with or attributed to Him. What else? He mentioned 30 things in those sifat, the 14 sifat. He mentioned 30 matters. We only mentioned here 5 or 6 of them. Now, he doesn't sleep. Huh? He doesn't have any wife, no son. Huh? No father. Huh? Death. No slumber. No equal. Now, doesn't need to be fed. Alaykum salam. There's nothing like him, and so on. Okay, so these are some of the specific things from the 30 points that the Shaykh mentioned. Along with these 14 sifat of Allah, he mentioned with each one of them things that they require us to reject from being ascribed to Allah. Additionally, he said, and I don't know if I mentioned this last week, if we reached this point or not. Yeah, we did, matter of fact. Now, we also said that the principles, two principles the Shaykh mentioned, that we reject in reference to the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah. That is, huh? At-ta'til, and what? At-tamthil. We did mention this last week. And we give a brief description of these two matters. And this leads us to the next question, which is, discuss briefly what is meant by ta'atil and tamthil. What is meant by ta'atil? In brief. And what's the meaning of ta'atil? Now, Ahmed.
Negate the true meaning of the ayah.
Okay, to negate the true meaning, the correct meaning, that is indicated or pointed to by the ayat of the Quran or the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The true meaning that is pointed to. To negate that, yani to deny it, to reject it, that's ta'atil. Yani to empty it of its meaning, to make it inoperative so that it doesn't have any effect. Now, this is the meaning of ta'atil. For anyone to reject that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has confirmed for himself, what he has described himself with in the Quran, or what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described him with in the Sunnah, this is ta'atil, to reject the meanings of Allah's names or his sifat. And what is tamthil?
Liken him like something from his creation.
Likening him, or yani saying that his sifat are like the sifat of the created beings. To liken any sifa, any description or characteristic of Allah to the characteristic of the human being. To say it is like the characteristic of the human or any other creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is tamthil, to make a likeness, a comparison, a similarity, to say that there is some similarity. And actually, we mentioned a little detail concerning this, but it's not so important at this point. But we should know the difference between ta'atil and tahrif, and the difference between tamthil and tashbih. We should know that there is a difference between these two, and for the sake of time, yani, we'll go on. We said also mention four sifat of Allah, the Most High, which the author mentions as examples of Allah's lofty characteristics. Four of the sifat that Al-Imam, Al-Hafidh Hakami, that he mentioned. Four of the sifat that he mentioned. He mentioned 14 of the sifat of Allah. 14 of them. Now, Musa. Al-Imam? Okay, we're talking about His Highness. That's our subject. But he mentioned 14 sifat which point to His Highness. Now, of course, that is this our subject, Allah's ulu, His Highness. Now, what else? Huh? I can't. Oh, Kibriya. Kibriya. Now, Al Kibriya. Now, Allah's greatness. Now, Al Azama. Allah's magnificence, His Majesty. Now, what else? Samadiya. Samadiya. What does this mean? Samadiya. The characteristic of Allah that He is, He's independent and everything is dependent on Him. Everyone is dependent upon Him. He is in need of no one. Now, what else? Samadiyya. Huh? Adlihi. Al-Adl. Naam. From His characteristics is Adl. Al-Adl. Naam. That He is just. What else? Naam. Al-Hay. Al-Hayati. Naam. Al-Hay is the name. Al-Hay. The sifa, Hayat. Yani Kamal Hayatihi, Naam, the perfection of his life. Naam, what else? Naam. Rinahu, naam. He's being rich, free of need. He's without need of anything. Naam, what else?
Jabri.
Huh? Jabarut. Jabaruti, naam. Jabarutu, naam. That he is any all powerful over everything. Omnipotent. Huh? At-Tabib is one of the names of Allah, naam. But the Shaykh didn't mention that last week. It was the 14th that he mentioned, naam. At-Tabib is one of the names of Allah, naam. Narrating an authentic hadith, naam. At-Tabib. Allah is the one who heals. And He's the only one who can heal. Naam. The rest of these doctors are fakes. They're just pretending. Naam. Al-Ahadiyah. Ahadiyah, naam. Which means his uniqueness, that he's unique, there's nothing like him. Not only is he one alone, but he's unique, there's nothing like him, and so on, okay? So the Shaykh mentioned 14 of them, and reflecting upon them should be helpful to us in knowing Allah better. This is really our objective. This class, the purpose of it is to know Allah's names, to know Allah's sifat, to understand their meanings, and how we utilize them in our life, how we apply them to ourselves. So that we become more conscious of Allah, we know Him better, we get nearer to Allah, and we worship Him in the way that He deserves to be worshipped. So we need to know these characteristics, and more than those. The Shaykh only mentioned 14, but there are many, many more. We need to know Allah's names and understand their meanings. And then we need to know, how do we apply this to in our lives? How does it affect us? How does it affect our relationship with Allah? How does it affect our relationship with other people? How we act, how we behave, how we worship, our manners, our character, all of that. It should be affected by Allah's names and sifat. If we know them, and if we reflect upon them, and when you read the Qur'an, you actually stop on them and think about it. Don't read the Qur'an like you're reading the newspaper. But actually, when you hear these names and these descriptions, that you should reflect upon it. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing Himself to us so that we can know Him. For our benefit. For our benefit. And finally, mention four of the asma of Allah, the Most High, which are related to the sifat mentioned by the author in this question. And in the 14th sifat that the Shaykh mentioned, rahimahullah, we want some of the names of Allah that are related to those specific sifat. Not any of the names of Allah, the ones that are related to those sifat. Now, at least four of them. Somebody give me one. Naam. Al-Adl. Naam. Al-Adl. Naam. Huh? Al-Ghani, naam. Al-Samad, naam. Al-Ahad. Huh?
Al-Hakim.
Huh? Al-Kabir. He mentioned that in the beginning with the names. Naam. But in any case, it came still with the sifat too. Naam, what'd you say? Al-Qahhar. Did the Shaykh mention that in the sifat last week? Not in question 70, but that's, of course, one of Allah's great names that we talked about before. Al-Qayyum, naam. Al-Hayy al-Qayyum, naam.
Al-Qadir.
Huh? Al-Qadir. Qudra, he mentioned Qudra, naam. Al-Muta'al. He mentioned that in the names, naam. In the beginning of the answer, naam. And these are some of them that he mentioned. Al-Aleem. Naam. Al-Azim. Al-Kabir. Al-Jabbar. Al-Malik. Malik, Ahad al-Samad, naam. Okay, so these are some of them. And again, what is the objective? To learn the names of Allah, to understand their meanings. And then inshallah, as we'll see in the questions that are remaining before we finish this class, a couple of questions that are remaining, we'll see in detail, clearly, how we should be applying these names. And it's more than just memorizing them. That is not really the objective, to memorize them. But rather, to memorize them, to identify them, to memorize them, to understand their meanings, and then how we apply them. And that we'll talk about in the very, very near future. Okay, so these are some of the questions that we covered last week. And tonight, bi idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to continue with the Shaykh's answer. And we left off mentioning where the Shaykh said, وَتَعَالَى فِي جَمِيعِ مَا وَصَّفَ بِهِ نفسه وصفه به رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن التعطيل والتمثيل. That was the last thing that we talked about. That Allah is high above and far removed from negating anything or from making examples or parables or likenesses in anything or all of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described himself with and what his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have described him with. And we are not to apply a ta'til or a tamthil, making likenesses to Allah and what he has described himself with, or emptying those names or descriptions of their meanings. After that, the Shaykh said, وَسُبْحَانَهُ وَبِحَمْدِهِ وَعَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَتَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى وَتَنَزَّهَ وَتَقَدَّسَ عَنْ كُلِّ مَا يُنَافِي إِلَهِيَتَهُ وَرُبُوبِيَتَهُ وَأَسْمَاهُ الْحُسْنَى وَصِفَاتَهُ الْعُلَى. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أو سُبْحَانَهُ وَبِحَمْدِهِ. The Shaykh, he began with this statement. And then he said, وَعَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And then he said, وَتَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. And then he said, وَتَنَزَّهَ وَتَقَدَّسَ. And all of these expressions contain the meaning of one or both of these two things. That is, al-ithbat and al-nafi. Yani negating from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any type of defect or shortcoming or evil or whatever is ascribed to him falsely. Or ithbat, affirming for him every characteristic of perfection. These expressions that are commonly mentioned after mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these expressions are expressions that are intended by the speaker, if the person is conscious of what they're saying, as an acknowledgement that every characteristic of imperfection should be negated from Allah. And every characteristic of perfection should be affirmed for Allah. That is the meaning of it. That is the meaning of subhanahu wa bihamdihi. And this is from the adhkar that the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us with, subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah, it is a tanzih, to negate, to reject from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every characteristic of imperfection, or whatever has been ascribed to him falsely. That's the meaning of subhanallah. And if a person says subhanallah, they mean, I declare Allah to be free of any imperfection. Oh, how perfect Allah is. It is like ta'ajjub, an expression almost of ta'ajjub. Oh, how perfect Allah is. وَبِحَمْدِهِ is the affirmation of every characteristic of perfection. That is, وَبِحَمْدِهِ, and the praise belongs to him. He is praised, why? Because of his characteristics of perfection. So when a person says, subhanallah, وَبِحَمْدِهِ, they are saying Allah is free of any imperfection, and he is the one who deserves every praise because of his perfection. Because of his perfection. And then the Shaykh, he said, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. This is from two other names of Allah. The name of Allah, Al-Aziz and Al-Jaleel. That Allah is Al-Aziz, and with all of its meanings. That perhaps if we have some chance, we can look at what some of the scholars have said about the meaning of these names. Al-Aziz, the mighty. Al-Jaleel, the majestic. These are names of greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of His highness, His loftiness, His ulu, His majesty and His glory and His greatness, His magnificence. Azza wa Jalla. When a person says Allah Azza wa Jalla, then this is not just something that you just say in passing, like what's happening. That doesn't have any meaning. Azza wa Jalla means that Allah is Al-Aziz, Al-Jaleel. Wa Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Some of the scholars said Tabaraka wa Ta'ala means that He is blessed. Yani Al-Khayr. Kathir Al-Khayr. Fi Nafsi wa Fi Sifatihi. That Allah is the one, the blessings come from Him. He is blessed in Himself. فِي نَفْسِهِ فِي ذَاتِهِ وَفِي صِفَاتِهِ, and in His characteristics. He is blessed and the blessings come from Him. All the khair comes from Allah. All the khair comes from Allah. Every good comes from Allah. وَتَعَالَى means that He is high, He is lofty, sublime. High above and far removed from every type of defect or shortcoming or falsehood that has been attributed to Him. وَتَنَزَّهَ وَتَقَدَّسَ. التنزيح والتقديس mean almost the same. As we described in detail last week, when we read from Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di's explanation of the names that the Shaykh began with in the beginning. Al-Qudus al-Salam. And it means that Allah is free of every imperfection, that Allah is pure, that He's perfect, that there is nothing that can be ascribed to Him that is evil. But only good can be ascribed to him. So the Shaykh, he said these statements. Subhanahu وبحمده عز وجل تبارك وتعالى وتنزل وتقدس عن كل ما ينافي. يعني that Allah is high above and far removed from everything that negates إلهيته, His إلهية, His ألوهية, and His divinity, وربوبيته, and His ربوبية, His lordship. Everything that opposes that, that contradicts that, that negates that, Allah is free from all of this. وأسماءه الحسنى, and His beautiful names, وصفاته العلا, and His lofty high characteristics. Allah is what? And this is part of the answer to the question that we had last week, but we didn't reach this point. That from what we should negate from Allah, everything that contradicts His ilahiyya, and His rububiyya, and His asma wa sifat. Everything that contradicts that, that's opposed to that, that negates that, that has any reflection of imperfection in Allah's ilahiyya, or His rububiyya, His asma wa sifat, His tawheed. Everything that's opposed to that. And just as a note, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in explaining the meaning of Subhana, he said, he mentioned the linguistic meaning of it, but in the end of it, the summary of what he said is that Subhana is the ism masdar, that the meaning of it is the same as tasbih. Tasbih. And the meaning of this, he said, it is, the root of its meaning is al-bu'ud. Al-bu'ud. Yani, being far from something. Distance, being distanced from something. So the meaning of Subhana, he said, it is كَأَنَّكَ تُبْعِدُ صِفَاتَ النَّقْصِ عَنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. It is as though you are making far removed from Allah every sifa of defect, of shortcoming, of imperfection, that you are removing it far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مُنَزَّهٌ عَنْ كُلِّ نَقْصٍ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is free from every type of defect. So when a person says Subhanallah, it is as though they are saying Allah is far removed from every characteristic of imperfection. I mean, it's incumbent upon us to take this matter seriously. This is not an academic discussion. Rather, we are trying to take it to another level. We want to learn the names of Allah, the sifat of Allah, so that we can reflect on them, and we can say them, and we can call on Allah by them, with consciousness of what they actually mean. And in that way it has an effect on our heart and on our soul. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And in line with this, I would like to mention a few ayats that the Shaykh didn't mention, but I think it is of benefit, inshallah. We want to just mention a couple of ayats, and if you want to write them, write them. But please don't ask me about them later. Don't ask me about them later. Okay, the first ayah I want to mention is from Surah Al-Isra, 17th surah, 43rd ayah, 17:43. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, amma yakuluna uluwan kabira. Allah says about Himself, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is free from, far removed, high above, what they saying, the mushrikun. Amma yakuluna uluwan kabira. Allah is very high and far removed from what they say. The falsehood of these kuffar mushrikun. So Allah, He used this expression for Himself to remind us of this important point. The second ayat, and it's a long section, but I'll just mention the part of it, the end of the section in Surah Al-Safat, 37th surah, 37, ayat 159, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subhanallahi amma yasifun. Subhanallahi amma yasifun. That Allah is far removed, free from what they describe Him with. Amma yasifun. The descriptions, the sifat that they are giving, that He's Father, that He is a son, that He is one in three, that He is whatever these people say, the names and descriptions that they have given, Allah is far removed from what they describe Him with. And in another place, in the same surah, Safat 37, ayah 180, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subhana rabbika, rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. that your Rabb, He is far removed. The Rabb of Izzah, the one who is the Lord of might and majesty of greatness, He is far removed, amma yasifoon, from the descriptions that they are giving. He is far removed from this. And the last ayat, actually it's ayat in Surah Al-Hashr, yani 22, 23 and 24. And these ayats really are yani important, but I mean for the sake of time, these ayats mention many of the names of Allah, the beginning of it, huwa Allah, alladhi la ilaha illa huwa. This is very important, that He is Allah, He's talking about Himself, the one whom no one deserves to be worshipped except Him. And then he mentions some of his names, Alim al-Ghaybi wa shahada, Hu al-Rahman al-Rahim, Hu Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa, al-Malik al-Quddus al-Salam al-Mu'min al-Muhaymin al-Aziz al-Jabbar al-Mutakabbir. And then he says, Subhanallahi amma yushrikun. And this is the shahid, the point in the ayah that we want to come to what? Subhanallahi amma yushrikun. That Allah is far removed from that which they associate with Him. Yani the shirk. The people that they have given a share and that which is His exclusive right alone. Allah is far removed from this. Subhanallah amma yushrikun. Surah 59. Surah Al-Hashr 59, 22nd, 23rd and 24th ayat. And this is, yani, this is in, these ayats are in line with what the Shaykh mentioned when he finished mentioning the sifat of Allah's perfection. After he mentioned those sifat and the things that should be negated from Him, then he mentioned this point, yani, that we should declare Allah to be free, to be high, above and far removed from anything that is falsely attributed to Him. After this, the Shaykh mentioned the ayat. The Shaykh mentions the ayat in Surah Al-Rum, 30th Surah, 27th ayat, 30, 27. And the Shaykh, I think, remember, I don't have my original notes here. Anyway, the ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْعَعْلَى فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah is the one who begins the creation, and then He repeats it, and that is easier for Him. All of it is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the initial creation, and then bringing it back again, is all easy for Allah. And the shahid of the ayah that we want to pay attention to is what? وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And he ends it with two of the great names, of his great beautiful names, الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى الْعَزِيزُ, the mighty, الْحَكِيمُ, the wise. And these names came in the Qur'an many times together, الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. That with his might and his power and his greatness, that there's also hikmah. He's not like the mighty person who's out of control. But whatever he does is based upon hikmah. That means he just puts everything in its proper place. Nothing is out of place. Whatever Allah does, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is based upon wisdom. Putting everything where it belongs. So his might, his izzah, and his hikmah are mentioned together in this ayah. But the point the Shaykh is saying here, he's given us this principle, وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That he has the highest, al-a'la, the highest mathal, the highest mathal in the heavens and in the earth. And there's another ayah similar to this, I'll just mention it, I need to go with it, if you note it, in Surah An-Nahl, 16th Surah, 60th ayah, 1660, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ مَثَلُ السَّوْءِ وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Yani that for those who do not believe in the hereafter is al-mathal al-saw, yani evil mathal, description. And for Allah is al-mathal al-a'la, the highest mathal or description. And He is Aziz al-Hakim. Al-Aziz al-Hakim. Concerning this ayah, the first one that the Shaykh mentions, Surah Al-Rum, Al-Imam al-Shawkani, in his tafsir Fath al-Qadiyah, he says, وَلَهُ الْمَثَلَ الْأَعْلَى قَالَ الْخَلِيلُ الْمَثَلُ السِّفَةُ. Yani Al-Imam al-Shawkani said in this ayat that to Allah belongs al-mathalu al-a'la, the highest description. He said al-mathal, it means as-sifa. As-sifa is the description. Description or characteristic. The characteristic that to Allah belongs the highest characteristic, the highest description. Yani the meaning, لِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى means وَلَهُ الْوَصْفُ الْأَعْلَى, the highest description in the heavens and the earth. And this is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ra'ad, Al-Shawkani says, in Surah Ra'ad, 13th Surah, 35th Ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ, that the مَثَل of the Jannah, which the people of Taqwa have been promised, أي صفتها, مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ means صفت الْجَنَّةِ, the description of the Jannah that the people of Taqwa, who have Taqwa of Allah, who observe His commands and avoid His prohibitions, this is its description, the description of Jannah. So he is using this ayat as a proof that the meaning of al-mathal al-a'la, it means as-sifa al-a'la, al-wasf al-a'la. Because Allah used the same word, mathal al-jannah, meaning sifat al-jannah, allati wu'ida al-muttaqoon. This is one of the explanations or views of the scholars concerning the meaning of this ayat, walillahi al-mathal al-a'la, that to Allah belongs the highest description, the most lofty, sublime characteristics. Then he says, Al-Imam Shawkani says, وَقَالَ الْمُجَاهِدِ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ, one of the great scholars of tafsir from the Tabi'een, he said, أَلْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى, it means قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Mujahid said, the meaning of مَثَلُ الْعَالَى means لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. لِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى means that Allah, there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah. Al-Mathal al-A'la means He's the only one who deserves to be worshipped because of His perfect characteristics and qualities, His names and so on. So He's the only one who deserves to be worshipped. And this is similar to what was said by Qatada, one of the other, rahimahullah, scholars of the Tabi'een. And Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his tafsir mentions that this is also the saying of Al-Imam, the Imam of the scholars of tafsir, Al-Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, rahimahullah. And this is the second saying, interpretation of the meaning of Al-Mathal al-A'la, the highest description, means the saying La ilaha illallah. And then he mentioned a third opinion. Al-Imam Shawkani says, وَقِيلَ الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى هُوَ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ, that the meaning of الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى, it means that there is nothing like him. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ, there is nothing, there is no one that is like him. الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. And this is Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 11th Ayat, 42-11. And this saying has been mentioned by Hafiz ibn Kathir from Ali ibn Abi Talha, rahimahullah, from Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, that the meaning of a mathal al-a'la is laysa kamithlihi shay'un. Al-Imam Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his tafsir, says concerning this ayah, he mentioned this ayah and he said, وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ كُلُّ صِفَةِ كَمَالٍ, كُلُّ صِفَةِ كَمَالٍ, that الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى means every description or every characteristic of perfection. This is the meaning of الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى. And that this kamal, or the perfection of this characteristic, and Al-Mahabba, the love, and the complete turning back to Allah is in the hearts of the sincere worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى هُوَ صِفَتُهُ الْعَالَى, يعني it is His highest description and everything that results from that. And for this reason, the people of scholars, they used to use this saying in reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a sort of qiyas, qiyas al-awla, meaning that you are saying that someone or something has more right than anything else. They are using it in this way, saying that every sifa of kamal in the created beings, every description of perfection that's in the created beings, then the creator of them has more right to be described with it. If there's any created being, human or otherwise, that has any characteristic that is a characteristic of goodness or purity or perfection, Allah has more right to that. هو أولى به. This, they use this as a principle in reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, And likewise they said, وَكُلُّ نَقْسٍ فِي الْمَخْلُوقِ يُنَزَّهُ عَنْهُ فَالتَّنْزِيهِ الْخَالِقِ عَنْهُ مِنْ بَابِ الْأَوْلَى وَأَحْرَى. And likewise every description of imperfection that is in the created beings that they want to and remove from their self, that they want to not be described with, Allah has more right that he be freed from that being ascribed to him. And then he went on and gave explanation of the names Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim. And there was a few explanations of that, but for the sake of time. And this is briefly some of the sayings of the scholars concerning the meaning of وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. That Allah is the one who has the highest description, the most perfect description. After this, the Shaykh closes his answer by saying, وَنُصُوصَ الْوَحْيِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ مَعْلُومَةٌ مَفْهُومَةٌ مَا كَثْرَتِهَا وَشُحْرَتِهَا. That the textual proofs of revelation from the book and the sunnah in this subject matter are ma'luma, well known, وَمَفْهُومَ, and understood. They are not complex that people can't understand them. They are there and present for us. مَا كَثْرَتِهَا, and there's much of them, وَشُحْرَتِهَا, which is known to everyone, well known. And that's the end of what the Shaykh said in his answer. And it's time for the adhan, I think. But we're going to take a few minutes after the adhan, inshallah, to look at this statement. The last statement that the Shaykh mentions is that he is saying, he didn't mention a lot of ayats, right, concerning this subject matter. He only mentioned one ayat, لِلَّهِ الْمَثَلِ الْعَالَى. But he said the textual proofs in the revelation, in the Quran and the Sunnah, are well known and understood, and there are many. And he left it with that, because his intention is to be brief and get to the point. And so we would like to mention some of them, so that we will know that what he said, they are well known and there are many. There are too many for us to mention, but we'll mention quickly a few of them. The first, concerning the sifa of Allah, ahadiyya, Allah's uniqueness. He said that this requires of us to declare Allah to be far removed and distant and free from there being anyone besides Him who has mulk or qistun minhu. Anyone besides Allah having any sovereignty or authority or ownership of anything or even a portion of it. Or that Allah has a helper, or that Allah has a supporter, zahiran or shafi'an, one who can intercede with Him without His permission, or alayhi ujir, or anyone who can protect someone from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And concerning these statements that the Shaykh make, we'll mention a couple of ayahs. From amongst them is Surah Al-Saba, 34th Surah, 22nd ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ اِدْعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكٍ وَمَا لَهُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ. In Zahir. Say to those who claim that there is someone who can be associated or have some partnership besides Allah with him, say to them, لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَرَأَةٍ. They don't control anything. They don't own anything. They don't have sovereignty over anything. Not even to the equal of an atom or a small ant in the heavens or on the earth. Nor do they have in it even any shirk, yani any portion of it. Not even a portion of it. وَمَا لَهُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ. And he has no supporter. Allah has no need of a supporter from anyone or anything in the heavens and the earth. And likewise in Surah Yunus, 10th Surah, 3rd Ayat, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ مَا مِنْ شَفِيٍّ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ إِذْنِهِ. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُوهُ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. That verily your Rabb is Allah, the one who created the heavens and earth in 6 days, and then He ascended above His arsh. He is the one who controls or manages the affair. مَا مِنْ شَفِيعٍ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ إِذْنِهِ. And there is no one who can intercede except after His permission. No one can intercede for anyone except after His permission. Also, yani you can refer to the point that the Shaykh mentions that there is no one who can protect anyone against Allah. Surah Al-Mu'minun, 23rd Surah, 88th ayat. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَنْ بِيَدِهِ الْمَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ يُجِيرُ وَلَا يُجَارُ عَلَيْهِ. To the end of the ayah, let's say, who is it that has in his hand the sovereignty, the control over everything, and he is the one who can grant shelter or asylum or protection, but nobody can grant protection against him. And concerning Allah's greatness and His magnificence and His control, ownership of the heavens and the earth and His power, His omnipotence, the Shaykh said that we should negate from Allah due to these characteristics that He has any munazir, anyone who can test Him, or mughalib, anyone who can overcome Him, or wali min al-dhul, or nasir, that He needs anyone to protect Him or support Him or help Him. And there are many ayats concerning these meanings. From amongst them, Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 56 ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in part of the ayat, the part that is relevant to our discussion, مَا مِن دَابَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا. That there is no crawling, moving, living creature except that Allah has control, complete control of it. That He has His grip or grasp over its forelock, control over it. And also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fatir, Saba, 35th surah, 3rd ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Ghafir, 40th surah, 16th ayat, لِمَنِ الْمُلْقُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَحَارِ. To whom belongs the kingdom, the kingship, this day, يعني يوم القيامة, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say this, and He Himself will answer, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَحَارِ. That it belongs to Allah, the One who is unique and omnipotent, all-powerful, dominant over everything. Also, Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 111th Ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الظُّلُّ وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. And the rest of the ayat is also relevant, but for the sake of time, this is what the Shaykh mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should reject there being for Him any wali min al-dhul, that there's anyone that He needs to protect or to support Him due to His yani position of lowliness, being in need. And concerning the third characteristic that the Shaykh mentioned, samadiyah, the samadiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that he doesn't have any spouse, any wife, doesn't have a child or a parent or an equal or anyone similar to him. And this is mentioned, some of these points are mentioned, of course, in Surah Al-Ikhlas, 112th Surah of the Quran. Allahu Samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. That is well known to us all. And likewise in Surah Al-Jinn, 72nd Surah, 3rd Ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa annahu ta'ala jaddu rabbina. مَتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَةً وَلَا وَلَدًا. That the nobleness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His majesty is exalted, and He has not taken a sahiba, a wife, وَلَا وَلَدًا, nor a child. And this similar meaning is mentioned in Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 151st Ayat, أَنَّ يَكُونُ لَهُ وَلَدٌ وَلَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ صَاحِبًا. How can there be for him a child when he doesn't have a sahiba, a wife? And from the fourth characteristic that the Shaykh mentions, the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hayat, His life, and His qayyumiyah, His being self-subsistent, and His power, is that He doesn't die, and He doesn't slumber, and He doesn't sleep, and He doesn't get tired, nor does He become exhausted. And relevant to this, yani, is Surah Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 255th Ayat, Ayatul Kursi. And in this ayat, we know that we should all be familiar with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa, al-hayyul qayyum, the one who has perfect life, and He's self-subsistent, without need of anyone, but everyone is in need of Him. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm. That slumber overtakes him not, nor sleep, till the end of the ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, concerning His kursi, wasiya kursiyu samawati wal ard, wa la ya'udhu hafzuhuma, wa huwa al-ali, Al-Azim. That Allah's kursi extends over the heavens and earth, and He is not tired. He doesn't become tired from protecting and preserving them, because He is Al-Ali, the Most High, Al-Azim, the Supreme. And the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 58th Ayat, وَتَوَقَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتِ وَصَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِهِ. that put your trust in the one, the all-living, al-hayy, the one who has perfect life, alladhi la yamut, he doesn't die. And concerning the fifth description that the Shaykh mentions from Allah's sifat, kamal ilmihi, the perfection of his knowledge, he said that he doesn't suffer from ghafla or nisyan, yani being unmindful or forgetfulness, nor is there anything that escapes from his knowledge, even that which is equal to the weight of an atom in the heavens or in the earth. And this, these meanings are mentioned in a number of ayats from the Quran, from amongst them Surah Ibrahim, 14th Surah, 42nd ayat, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمُلُ الظَّالِمُونَ, to the end of the ayat, that don't imagine, don't think that Allah is ghafil, that Allah is unmindful of what the oppressors, the wrongdoers are doing. Don't imagine that Allah is unmindful. And this is important, this ayat a person needs to go back and read the tafsir of. Because in the earth today, we see oppression everywhere. No exceptions in the whole earth, in the land of the kuffar and in the land of the Muslims. Don't imagine, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ. This is emphasis, ta'keed. Don't ever imagine for one moment that Allah is unmindful of what the wrongdoers are doing. Know that Allah is aware of it fully. But He's only delaying their punishment until the day when the eyes will be fixed, staring in horror. The day of accounting. Naam. And this is a warning to the oppressors, and it is a good news to those who are oppressed. And also the saying of Allah in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 64th and 65th ayat, especially the 64th ayat, rather we should say, at the end of the ayat, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. And Allah is never forgetful. And that is a warning against those who do wrong, including ourselves. And it is also good news that Allah will not forget what you have done of good. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yunus, 10th Surah, 61st ayat, and we look at the part of the ayat that is relevant to our discussion, وَمَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, that there is nothing, even the weight of an atom, that escapes from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens or in the earth. Not even that which is smaller than that or greater than that, but it is all fi kitab mubin. It is in a clear book recorded. And concerning the sixth ayat, that the sifa that the Shaykh mentions, the perfection of Allah's hikmah and His hamd, His wisdom and His praiseworthiness, that He doesn't, we negate from Him creating anything, yani just for sport or play or amusement, or that He leaves the creation after He created it without any purpose or objective. And concerning this, we can see in Suratul Mu'minun, 23rd Surah, 115th and 16th ayat, but especially 115th ayat, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Do you imagine, do you think that we have created you, yani just for no reason, no purpose, just abathan, yani for, just for play or amusement? وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ, and that you all will not be returned to us, yani for counting and judgment. And in the rest of the ayah is also completing this meaning, but the important thing here, Allah is saying He didn't create us without, you know, just for a play, for sport or amusement, just for fun. Rather, we have a purpose and we will be returned to Him. And similar to this meaning is the saying of Allah in Surah Dukhan, 44th Surah, 38th Ayat, وَمَا خَلَقَنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ, that we have not created the heavens and earth and what is between them, just for play or amusement. And the ayats like this are many, including Surah As-Sa'd, 38:27, and Surah Al-Jathiyah, 45:22, where Allah mentions that people, everybody will be rewarded for what they have done. Yani good for good and evil for evil. And the seventh characteristic of Allah's perfection that the Shaykh mentioned, kamal adlihi, the perfection of His justice, which requires us to negate from Him doing injustice to anyone, even in the amount of a atom, or yani decreasing anything from someone's good deeds. No wrong will be done in your accounting of whatever you have done of good. And the ayahs concerning this in the Quran are too many to mention. From amongst them is Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 40th Ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ, that Allah doesn't do wrong to anyone, even in the amount of an atom. And the saying of Allah also in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 77th Ayat, وَلَا تُذْلَمُونَ فَطِيلًا. And you will not, no wrong will be done to you, even in the amount of the thread that's on the seed inside of a date. And the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nisa, also 4th Surah, 124th Ayah, وَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا. That whoever does righteous deeds, whether a male or female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, with the condition that they are a believer. Whoever is not a believer, then whatever they do of good in this world is gone. They will get their reward in this world. Allah is just, but there is no reward for them in the hereafter. But the one who does righteous deeds, whether male or female, they are a believer, then these will enter the Jannah. And no wrong will be done to them, even the amount of naqir, that is the speck, a dot that's on the date seed. No injustice will be done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, yani other ayats in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah 281, and Surah Al-Taha, 20th Surah, 112 ayat. And the 7th, or the 8th, the last description, sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Shaykh mentioned, وَتَعَالَ فِي كَمَالِ غِنَاهُ عَنَ يُطْعَمْ أَوْ يُرْزَقْ أَوْ يَفْتَقِرَ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ فِي شَيْءٍ. That Allah is high above and far removed due to His the perfection of His ghina, that is, of Him being, yani without need. He is rich. He has no need of anything. Therefore, we negate from Him being fed or being provided provisions or being in need of anything from anyone. And from the ayats of the Quran, and there are many that mention this type of meaning, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 14th Ayah. I'm just mentioning the part of the ayah that's relevant to this matter. كُلَّ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ أَتَّخِذُ وَلِيًّا فَاطِرُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ يُطْعِمْ وَلَا يُطْعَمْ. Shall I take anyone other than Allah as a wali, a helper, a supporter, a protector? Well, He is the one who created the heavens and the earth, and He is the one who feeds, and He is not fed. And the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Dhariyat, 51, 57, and 58, ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون إن الله هو الرزاق ذو قوة المتين. That I do not want from you any provisions. Yani Allah doesn't need provisions from us, and nor does He want that they feed. Yani Him or His creatures, Allah will take. He provides the provisions, and He feeds His creatures that He created Himself. إن الله هو الرزاق. He is the provider. ذو قوة المتين. And finally, the last ayat concerning this matter is in Surah to Muhammad 47, Surah 38th ayat, 47-38. And the end of the ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ. That Allah is al-ghani, the one who is rich, who is without need, and you all are the ones who are poor in need. Allah is rich, without need, and everyone else is poor and in need of Allah's help and His mercy and His favor. And this is where we're going to stop with this question. And I just want to say that I hope that everyone will go back and read the answer that the Shaykh gave with reflection after this discussion tonight, and take from it something that you will apply in your life tonight, and before you go to sleep tonight. Take something from these names of Allah, from these sifat of Allah, from these things that should be negated from Allah, and realize that Allah is far above and He is far removed. He is free of these characteristics of imperfection that negate His characteristics of perfection. If we realize how great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we realize how great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His names and from His sifat, the more that we know of them, the more we should magnify Him. The more our heart should become attached to Him and dependent upon Him. The more that we should be obedient to Him. And the more we should fear disobeying Him. The more we should fear being heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying something that's displeasing to Him. Being seen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a place that's displeasing to Him. Even thinking thoughts. And Allah knows our thoughts. Thinking thoughts that are not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever knows that Allah is al-aleem, He knows everything. He's as-samee, He is everything. He's basir, He sees everything. He's al-qadir, al-qadir, al-muqtadir. He has power over everything. And this should affect us. This should affect us. It should help us to be more obedient to Him. And it should help us to refrain ourselves from the evil inclinations of our lower desires and from the suggestions of shaitan. Because the evil, it comes from ourselves and it comes from shaitan. And that's why we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and then from the evil of shaitan. So, you know, our purpose and our objective and our hope and desire is that this should not have been an academic discussion, but rather we should go back and look at these ayahs from the Quran and reflect upon them and contemplate over them, ponder over them, and look at ourselves. Yani, look at your own self. You may look at your spouse or at your children too. But mainly look at yourself. Don't look at the other person. Don't look at somebody else and see their shortcomings and their faults and their defects. But rather look at your own self. Look at the greatness of your Rabb and what He has done for you and what you have returned to Him in exchange for that. Yani, He has only given us good, and then we exchange it for other than good. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.